In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you. And again, I ask you to pray that we receive as a president the man that God wants, the man that God wants. You know, I want to tell you that Mr. Obama is pro-death until the last moment. I want to also tell you that the Democratic Convention booed God. That's right, they booed God and they booed Jerusalem. This is real. This is real. It's like something out of a movie that we're hearing, something out of a movie that they would boo God. And you know what? There was not two-thirds a group of people that they put God back in Jerusalem back. They did it because they did it. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that we need to vote for the man that God wants. And I'm going to tell you something. Someone told me, you know, I'm telling people to vote for Romney. I'm not telling people to vote for Romney. But I'm going to tell you one thing. God used a pagan king called Cyrus to bring his people back to Jerusalem. A pagan king. He even called that pagan king Messiah, anointed one. He used a pagan. God can use anyone. And I think we need to look at what these what the Republicans stand for, what the Democrats stand for, what the Independents stand for. We need to look and see what the platform is. Because, my friends, four more years of Obama, I believe, this country will go right down the drain. Right down the drain. And I'm not saying that the other people are the saviors. That's not real. But it's almost like you have to choose the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils. And that's just the way it is. You need to pray for this country. I need to pray for this country. We are in a bad position. You know, we've for the last 5 years, we've been saying 60 million children have been killed in abortion. It's not 60 million. It's more like 100 million. We haven't gone up in 5 years. I'm telling you that we're killing our children. And I'm telling you, we got Obama for these 4 years because we kill our children. God gave us up. We need to pray for mercy. We need to pray for mercy, M-E-R-C-Y. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We need to pray for mercy for this country if we're going to get back on our feet. I'm going to tell you, if Mr. Obama is elected, this country will go down the drain. He knows nothing about nothing. You know, it's very sad. It's very, very sad. Watch Russia. We're not through with Russia. We're not through with Russia. Watch Iran. Watch Jerusalem. Watch China. We are in a precarious situation, and we have a man who is the president that doesn't know what to do. Doesn't know what to do. And you know what? I don't care if he's black or green or yellow or purple. It's not his color of his skin. It has nothing to do with the color of his skin. It has to do with what he believes and what his platform is. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, it's anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's pro-Muslim. It's anti-constitution, and this is what we're dealing with. We need to pray. I cannot tell you who to vote for, but we need to get people to vote. And I'm going to ask you to go see that movie, 2016. I saw that movie 2016. It's worth viewing. It's worth seeing. It doesn't throw anyone down. It just tells the truth about Obama and where he comes from. 2016. Again, I ask people to go and see that movie. It'll do you good. It'll do you good. It'll help you to pray. It will help you to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray for this country. This country was a covenanted country under the blood of Jesus Christ. This was the only country beside Israel which is a covenanted country under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we have departed from God. We have killed our children. We don't say anything. Now, the next thing on the agenda is assisted suicide in Massachusetts. You know, this is like you're reading it out of a movie. That, you know, if you had told me in 1979 when I was ordained that there would be assisted suicide in Massachusetts, and if you told me that they would kill children until the last moment, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't have believed you. But during these 33 years, we have gone down the drain, because we have forsaken the Lord. This is real. We have forsaken the Lord, and there is only one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have forsaken Jesus Christ. We have killed our children. We have done all these things, and we have received as a benefit Mr. Obama for the last 4 years. Please pray for the mercy of God. The mercy of God. If God can use Cyrus, he can use anyone. Cyrus was a pagan king who brought Israel back to Jerusalem. God called him his anointed one, even though he was a pagan king. Listen. Go see 2016. I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, the very gospel that we heard yesterday. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. Now you might say, what is the Decapolis? The Decapolis are 10 cities that are pagan. So Jesus is by the Decapolis and one of these cities. It's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. One side is Jewish, one side is pagan. And again, they bring unto Jesus a man that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they besought Jesus to put his hand upon him. It was very interesting, you know. The fame of Jesus had been told throughout the Galilee region. And they bring to this man, to Jesus, a man that is deaf and a man that is mute, a defective to speech. And he took him aside from the multitude. He took him aside. It's interesting. Why would Jesus take him aside? First of all, they brought the man to Jesus. They had that much faith. Second of all, this is a pagan area. And maybe some people think this is magic. So they take the man outside the town. They take the man who is mute and deaf. Jesus takes him outside of the town and is alone with him. Why? Because he's in an area where you have pagans, where you have men and women who do not believe in the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. So let's see what he does. And Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. And he charged the people that they should tell nobody, but that more he charged them to tell nobody, the greater they published what Jesus did. And they were beyond measure astonished. They said, he hath done great things, and he makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. The Old Testament said when Messiah came, the deaf would hear and the dumb would speak. The lame would walk and the good news would be proclaimed to the poor. This is a real thing, that Jesus opened the ears of the deaf man and Jesus opened the mouth of the mute man. It's the same person. And he goes back to the Decapolis, and everybody now spreads the word about Jesus. Jesus doesn't want anyone to know about this. Why? Because the great act of Jesus will be the cross, not opening the ears of the deaf or the mouth of the mute. The great act of Jesus will be crucifixion, burial, death, and resurrection. So I want to tell you some stories. You know, we hear that Jesus opened the ears of the deaf. By God's grace, we have seen the deaf hear at our services. I told you the story, and it's going to be repeated again, that this woman on a retreat at the espousal, maybe 8-9 years ago, she came to the retreat, and she had two hearing aids, and I felt the Lord saying that He was opening the ears of people. How did I know that? My ears started to burn. So I figured that God let my ears burn because He wants to open the ears of deaf people. So this lady comes up to us, and I have the whole house praying. We pray for the woman, declaring healing in her ears one at a time. And she heard with her left ear, then she heard with her right ear, and she walked away and could hear from far away without the hearing aids. So she comes up to me, you know, with the service is not over. She comes up to me. She says, "I can hear." I said, "Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that you can hear? What am I going to do with my hearing aids?" I said, "Use them as relics." I was only kidding. Use them as relics. Well, she went back to work on that Monday. She works in a Catholic Christian bookstore in New Hampshire. I think it's called De Caloris. And she works there. And her boss had a deficiency in his ears. He was deaf also. So she said to the boss, "My ears opened up at the retreat that I went to at the espousal last week. God opened up both my ears. Let me pray for your ear." So she prayed for his ear. And after she prays for the ear, she says to the man, "Now kiss my relics." Kiss my relics. You know, kiss my hearing aids. These are relics. I once was deaf and now I hear. And the man heard. And that day, another woman came into the store, and she prayed with the woman, and that woman was healed. She said, "Kiss my relics." I'm going to just tell you, I was just fooling about relics. But you know what? They were signs that this lady was healed of deafness. They were absolute signs that this lady was healed of deafness, that she went from being deaf to being able to hear. And you know, we have seen things like that. We've seen the blind see at Holy Rosary. I remember a woman calling me on a Saturday night. I was in the process of cooking. And she said, "I want you to come and visit me." And I said to her, "Where do you live?" She said, "I live in Gloucester." I said, "I can't come to see you in Gloucester." I said, "I can't do that, but I can pray over the phone. I can do what I can do over the phone. You don't need me." So I prayed that her eyes would open up. And I said, "Tomorrow at the 11 o'clock Mass, if you come, we'll pray with you." She said, "I can't come because I have no one to take me." Well, anyway, she was there at the 11 o'clock Mass. And I said to her, "Why did you come? You said you weren't coming." She says, "Because after you prayed, I saw a little bit better." We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed with this woman that her eyes would open up. Then we brought the Bible to her, and she could see nothing. And we prayed. I could see for 45 minutes we prayed for this woman, and nothing happened. And I said to the Lord under my breath, I said, "Lord, you know, I cannot open the eyes of the blind, but you can. And I'm going to pray one more time. And if she begins to see, we'll continue to pray." Well, anyway, she was prayed with, and she looked at the Bible, and the first word she saw was Jesus. She pointed to the word Jesus. Hallelujah. So now we're going to pray for the woman until she sees completely. And we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until she completely saw, and she could read the whole passage. She read the whole passage. And I remember Eric, who now is a priest, is a young man, was ordained just in June. I remember Eric saying, "Father Tom, she was blind, and now she's seeing." I said, "Yes, Eric." She said, "But Father Tom, she was blind, and now she's seeing." You know, Eric is no slouch. He was graduated from Harvard on full scholarship, and one of the brightest kids that I know. But not only bright, he's simple. I'm going to tell you. Eric said, "She was blind, and now she sees." Yeah. That's what God knows how to do. That's what God knows how to do. You know, if you are looking at the Holy Rosary, sometimes the way I look at it, that there are so many people that don't come, that there are only a few of us, and it sometimes makes me very discouraged that people don't come and that we only have a few. But you want to know what? This weekend, the Lord showed me something that He keeps on showing me. First of all, on Saturday night, we pray for the sick. And as we're praying for the sick this week, this man comes up to me and says, Father Tom, I came here last November. The doctors gave me 3 months to live. And I'm in remission. And I've brought this man who has cancer. Can we pray for this man? So we prayed with the man who had cancer. And I'm thinking, you know, we had no idea last November that God put this guy in remission. He was given 3 months to live. And he said, you know what you told me? He said, you said to me, don't worry about what the doctors say, because they have no idea about when you're going to live and when you're going to die. They have no idea of when you're going to live and when you're going to die. He said, I put my faith in Jesus. He said, and now, he says, I have no cancer. I'm in remission. I said, isn't that wonderful? So we prayed with his friend. But it takes two times for me to see things. After the 11 o'clock mass, three sisters came into the sacristy, blood sisters. And they said, we came here because our father just got a liver, and it's rejecting the liver, and we knew that people would pray with us. So they came, and we prayed for the father who's in California, that the Lord would heal the man and that the liver would not be rejected. And I'm thinking, you know, they came from far away because they knew that somebody was going to pray with them. That even though we have so few people, God uses this little place for the people that are hopeless, for the people that are helpless, for the people who don't know their left hand from their right because they've been dealt a death score from the doctors. That's when people come. And they don't even often come back and tell us what happened, because we never know unless they come back. But he was showing me, the Lord was showing me, that Holy Rosary is like a lighthouse. And it beckons to the broken, it beckons to the poor, it beckons to the needy, it beckons to those who have nothing. It shows people that God wants to move and God wants to do great and awesome things. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, there's so few people, you know, and I guess it's pride, but it's kind of sad that there are so few people. We have two masses every weekday. But Wednesday at 9 in the morning and 7:30 at night. And usually at 7:30 at night, we have about four people. That's counting the two priests that are celebrating the Mass. And it's kind of sad that I keep on telling the people, church is open and we can pray and this is wonderful. Even if you can't come every day, come once a week extra. Come and pray for your needs. Come and see what God wants to do. And it's like talking to the wind, you know, but I keep on saying it, that Holy Rosary is a light in the darkness. It's a light for those people in despair. It's a light for those people who have been broken. It's a light to the cancerous. It's a light to those who are lame, those who are blind, those who are in wheelchairs. It's a light. It's a light. The woman who comes every week in the wheelchair with her husband, she said, my legs are getting stronger. And she said, but I have terrible migraine headaches. We prayed that the migraine headaches would go away. And she was freed of the migraine headaches. I tell you, God knows how to heal. He healed that man that was deaf and mute. He took him out of the city because it wasn't a place of faith. It wasn't a place of faith that Jesus wasn't going to be dealing with the tormenting demons. That Jesus took him away from the crowd so that he could pray for the man and declare healing. Because you know what it says in Nazareth? When Jesus went to Nazareth, he could do very little because of the lack of faith. They had enough faith at least to bring the man to Jesus. But they were pagans, you know, and they had a pagan religion, which means they worshiped false gods. But after the man was healed, Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Just don't tell anybody. That's the only thing you need to say to people. Don't tell anybody. And you know what happens. Everybody knows. Don't ever say don't tell anybody. Because when you tell people, don't tell anybody, it's good. They're going to go tell everybody. That's just the way people are. And they made the message known about Jesus opening the ears of the deaf man and opening the mouth of this mute. And this is God doing these wonderful things. And I want to tell you that he still does these things today. He sighed and said unto the man, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened. Notice that Jesus doesn't pray over the man. Jesus declares healing. Ephrathah, be thou opened, and his ears are opened. Right now to the deaf, I say in the name of Jesus, Ephrathah, be thou opened by the blood of Christ in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus who died on the cross and who was buried and who rose from the dead. Ephrathah, be thou open. Begin to hear, and not be deaf. Begin to speak, and not be mute. Ephrathah, be healed in the name of Jesus through the blood that was shed at Calvary. And everything the enemy wrote against you to keep you deaf has been absolutely wiped out. And be healed in the name of Jesus through the power of the blood. Ears open up in the name of Jesus and through the power of his blood. Ears open up, open up, open up, open up. Hear and not be deaf. Hear and not be deaf. Take the hearing aids out and let's see what's happening. Hear and not be deaf. Hear and not be deaf. Hear and not be deaf. O Ephrathah, be thou opened in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of his cross. Let's make an act of faith. I believe and I receive this miracle from Jesus, through his precious blood. Amen. Be healed now in Jesus' name of all ear problems. Be healed of ear aches in the name of Jesus. Be healed of infections in the ears, little children, in the name of Jesus. Be healed by the power of the cross. Amen. God's still doing these things because, you know, God's not dead, he's alive. He's still doing these things through people of faith. Having faith not in themselves, but having faith in who Jesus is. The identity of Jesus first is that he is the Son of God. He is God's Son. And from his identity, being God's Son from all eternity, Jesus Christ has the power to heal, to deliver, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. And he says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for I am with you always. Don't be afraid because I love you. Don't be afraid because I have great things for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because I have promised to be with you always, even until the end of time. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Be of good courage. I have overcome you. Don't be afraid. I have plans for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to leave you out. Everybody else has left you out, but I'm not going to leave you out. Don't be afraid. I've got plans for you. 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 Tell the Lord, I want those plans. I want those plans. I want your plans, Lord. Jesus, you're the man with the plan. You're the man with the plan. I want the plans that you have for me. Plans to give me a future and a hope. I want those plans. I want those plans. I want those plans. I thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. I thank you that I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, that he still is Jesus and he sits upon the throne. He hears and answers prayer. He opens the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind. He is Jesus who heals the lame, who heals people of arthritis. He is Jesus who is God, true God and true man. I proclaim this every single day on the radio, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we want the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, and that kingdom comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you heard someone say, God's will is that the kingdom of God would come in our midst as it is in heaven? We have prayed the Our Father every day, and we don't even know what we're praying for. Jesus said, when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, now, not when we die, now, N-O-W, now, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, now, N-O-W, now. Please, Lord, bring the kingdom about. That's why you open the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind, because the kingdom of God is upon us, because the kingdom of God is upon us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, our address is www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. And I'm telling you that you can go on there and make a donation to PayPal, and we will get that donation. www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. And you can make a donation on PayPal. We'd be very grateful. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Last night at our praise and worship service, the Lord said something, and I'm going to end by doing it. He says, "Where every time you praise me, every time you worship me," he says, "it is recorded in heaven. It is recorded in heaven." So let's praise him. We praise you. We bless you. We worship you. We glorify you. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for your name, for your powerful name, Jesus, that this is being recorded in heaven because we're praising. Everyone praise him now. Praise and thank you, Jesus, for the glory of God that comes through the cross, for the glory of God that comes through the resurrection. We praise you. We bless you. We worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father. Hallelujah, Jesus, true God and true man. Hallelujah, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah, Jesus, who has plans for us, plans to give us a future and a hope. Praise and glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise and glory to God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit. Praise and glory to the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that our praises are being recorded in heaven even now. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. We love you. We adore you. We praise you. We honor you. We bless you. We glorify you. Your name is holy. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Your name is holy. And we praise you. We bless you. We worship you. If you pray in tongues, pray in tongues now. Pray in tongues now. Continue to praise the Lord. Continue to praise the Lord. Your praises are recorded in heaven. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.